God is good. And Pastor asked for a show of hands for the men who came and helped build the church. He said, church, the reality is it's been churches that you've come help and build. And that just touches our heart. There's so many things we can say. Thank you. Thank you for your faithful support, praying for us, giving to us. The reality is we praise God that we get that chance to be the tip of the spear, to be your representative, Jesus Christ, there in the islands. But we couldn't do it without you, especially our home church that just above and beyond, we could spend all day just talking about your goodness to us, and we praise God for that. We thank you for that. We know it's our joy to come back and tell you what God is doing and what's being added to your spiritual account in heaven for your prayers and your support. I want to thank the church also specifically for this vehicle they've lent us for the months we're home here. What a blessing for us to have a nice, comfortable vehicle like that. And I've only been in two or three accidents. It's been great. It's been very durable. No, I'm teasing. I am teasing about that. I'm teasing about that. And praise God for that. Thank you very much, church, church family, those who came up with that idea, those who provided it. It is a super blessing for us. And it is great to come back and report what good things the Lord is doing. Thank you so much for your friendships. Prayer is so needful. Your support is so great. We're so grateful for it, and we use it for God's glory. But your friendships are also so very vital. I want to thank you all who've come to visit us, not just the construction trips. I believe we've hosted two or three teen groups. Some of you have come to visit. That means a lot to us. To be able to share one-on-one on the mission field. It's a great joy when your work groups or the teen groups come because we get to see old friends or new friends, and that means a lot to us. You would take of your time and your money and your talents to come help us. And so from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for just being a vital cog in our ministry there in the Dominican. Pray for us. Pastor talks about how he's prayed for years that the workers would go forth from the church to serve, and we pray for the same thing in the Dominican. Just happened so fast in our case. Many of the workers decided to go out and start churches. And so pray for our first church. We are raising up leaders as we speak in that church. And right now they're preaching and teaching God's word. So keep them in your prayers as well. I wanted to kind of catch up, as Pastor mentioned, just give you a background. I met a lot of new people this morning that I had never met before. I'm sure there are people who have come and gone since we left. And I was trying to think, I think it was 2006 when we headed on the deputation trail. And so really haven't been faithful members here in about, 12 years now. More than 12, 12 years. And so I want to catch you up with who we are. As Pastor mentioned, Holly was a school teacher here for 8 years, a Spanish teacher, and I came here from West Virginia. I grew up in Martinsburg, West Virginia, came down here in 2000, and was working in Sprint Communications as a network analyst. Really thought that's what I would do. I'm very thankful, and Holly's very thankful. We both grew up in Christian homes at a young age. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I praised the Lord. That was something I never doubted. I was very confident in that decision. Holly had some doubts, and when she was at Bible college, she got those taken care of, and we're very thankful for the godly heritage we have. And boy, it's great to have the teenagers here. Let me tell you guys, especially now after spending almost 10 years on the mission field, what you have is a great privilege that your parents would take you to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. You have godly mentors and pastors who can teach you in the Word. If you go to Christian school, that's another amazing blessing. Don't squander that. That's an amazing advantage the Lord has given you that you can use to serve Him in whatever capacity that is, whether it's full-time or just in the church here. And that is a great, great blessing. And we are both very fortunate to have parents who did the same for us. But when I came here in 2000, I'll be honest, I wasn't where I was supposed to be spiritually. I was working in the secular world, and I hadn't fallen away from the Lord, but I wasn't as close as I needed to be. And God and His providence sent me to the temple. And I remember the first Sunday coming and Pastor preaching a message on biblical standards. And even though I wasn't exactly where I was supposed to be spiritually, I knew the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart and said, this is where you need to be. You need to plant yourself right here. And I believe Brother Jeremy actually sat next to me one of those first days and was a real good friend to me. And before he went back to college. And then I think I've mentioned this before, but I always like to tell this story. You know, I came here and I didn't know anybody. And after Jeremy reached out, also Brother Nathan Topper reached out. And I thank the Lord for Brother Nathan Topper. Without him, I'm not sure I ever would have stayed, but he would call me up. He would be my buddy. And that really helped me stay just faithful here to the church. And I want to encourage you with that. Maybe there a new visitor comes in. They don't connect right away. But take it upon yourself if you have that opportunity to just connect with them. You never know how the Lord can use that to get someone just right back on track. And Another thing I noticed when Pastor started talking, he talked with a wonderful accent. He talked a lot about the Dallas Cowboys. And I knew that was where I was supposed to be, under the tutelage and preaching of a godly pastor who could preach the word with that kind of angle. So I knew I was in the right place, and I was very thankful. And it was neat. I got to grow in the Lord here. The Lord really used so many of you in my lives as Sunday school teachers. I think of Brother Chris McWilliams and Brother Stu Foster and Brother Rob Fredericks, who were teachers of mine, who were just real encouragement to us. And many of you have been through just, you know, our life as young single people, and we just praise the Lord for that. What happened was, after we're growing in the Lord, I remember a Sunday night coming to a service, and the men got up and they started giving testimonies about their trip to Uganda. And for those of you who went on that trip, I'm sure you remember that. I guess there were just many amazing things that happened or could have happened that didn't happen that God provided and protected. And I just remember hearing the testimonies of the men who were guys like me who worked in, you know, computer jobs or just did different manual labor, and how God had used that to really work in their hearts. And I just had this desire to go on a missions trip, not just to see parts of the world, but to just go help some people. And so I signed up for the next missions trip to India. And I got to go to India. You have to understand, it was the first time I'd ever been out of the country. I grew up in West Virginia. It was very strange for me. It's a completely upside down world. To this day, it's the most crazy environment I've ever been to. But boy, it was exciting to see God's work there going on in India. And I don't know, Holly's here, Brother Sam, I imagine, is here. I don't know who else might have been on that trip. I remember Pastor Devakar, who's now with the Lord. He got up at the end of one of the services, and he was introducing all of us. And he said something very interesting. I'll never forget. He said, he introduced Chris Bell and myself, Brother Jackson. He got to me. He said, and Eric Johnson. And he's thinking about becoming a missionary. And that was just not the case. I had never thought about that in my life. But it's funny how the Lord used a comment like that to put in my heart. And I remember coming back. And it was an interesting thing that happened on that trip to India. There were two men who were planning to go, and at the last second couldn't go. And so they had two slots open, and two teachers got to go. Astrid Taylor and Holly Ferguson got to go. Now, I had met Holly, but I never spent any time with her, really. And I knew that she had a heart for missions. And it was so neat to see Holly on the mission field there. I already knew that's what she wanted to be, was a missionary. And the Lord started giving me feelings for her on that trip. And I was almost mad at the Lord. I was like, Lord, why are you giving me these feelings for this girl? She wants to be a missionary. I don't want to stop her from becoming a missionary. Because, you know, I'm not going to be a missionary one day. That's not going to happen. And little did I know, that's exactly what God was doing. He was working in my heart. And I remember a couple of people on the trip got really sick, and Holly was one of them. And I just remember seeing the joy of the Lord as she served, still smiling and wanting to do right. And I thought, wow, that's true beauty. That's true beauty, that when things aren't easy and tough, that you can still smile and serve the Lord. And I knew she'd be a great missionary wife, but I just didn't think it would be mine. I didn't know if I would be a missionary one day. Well, the Lord used the next few months when I came back from that missions trip to start working on my heart. And it was actually just a few days ago. It was October 31st. I celebrated 17 years. We had a revival service just like you did with Brother Morris Gleiser. And he preached a service about giving your all to the Lord. And I remember surrendering to the Lord that night and just saying, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And I felt that it was going to be missions. I didn't know where. And so I was working at computers. The Lord allowed me to go to a local Bible institute and get my training. And Holly and I, it was like a light bulb went off as soon as I got called to missions. Like, hey, I can ask out Holly now. And so I, you know, I say, hey, would you like to go out sometime? And she said, no. I really tried to get her to go out with me for about 6 months, and I was literally about to just give up. It's not going to work out. And she finally relented and realized there's nobody else here, so I go out with this guy. And, you know, I'm getting older. I better, this is the last train, I guess. And so she said yes, and we started dating, and we dated for a year and a half while I was in Bible college, and we thought things were going really well. We were pretty confident that the Lord had put us together. Her parents, she's from Georgia, and her parents live far away, and we got a chance to meet them a couple times, but to be honest, the Lord just did not give her parents peace about our relationship. Now, you have to understand, young people, we were, at that time, 24, 25, 26 years old. Many of our friends are already married, having kids, and we really were confident the Lord's direction in our lives, but her parents didn't have peace. And we both had decided, because we have godly parents, we have Christian parents, that we wanted their blessing in our lives. We wouldn't want to get married without their blessing or even date. And we counseled with Pastor, and thankfully Pastor had the same commitment that we should wait for God's timing. Boy, that is one of the best things I could just always impart to anybody, is waiting for God's timing. There are a lot of great things we can do in this life, but it's important that we wait on his timing. And though it was not easy, and in fact, I'll say we've gone through a lot of things in our life, this still was the most difficult thing we ever had to go through, was to just put our dating life on hold and see each other 3-4 times a week here at Temple, and just say we'll have to wait on the Lord. And with really no answer how God was going to work that out, so continue to go to Bible college. And God did a very interesting thing. One day I got a call from Holly. She had been having some problems, dizziness, and I said, well, you should go. Temple has a wonderful health plan. You should go to the doctor, you know. And she went to the doctor, and they wanted to put her in an ambulance and take her to the hospital. She had a problem with her heart. And so, no, I'll stay there. I'll come take you. And I was able to take her to the hospital. And a few days later, they figured out she had a heart problem. They gave her a pacemaker. Her quality of life is much better now. Through that time, her parents were able to come up. We spent a lot of time together. And I think the Fergusons got to see how much I cared for their daughter, but yet I was willing to do whatever they wanted to do, which meant in that case, just wait. And the Lord really used that. It was a dramatic thing to do in our lives. And I want to thank Temple for their wonderful health care. I think that was about $50,000. It cost Holly about $25. And so praise God for that. I thank you for that, because the second one she got was a lot more expensive than $25 for it. So, but God really used that opportunity. And young people, one of the things I wanted to tell you too is that, you know, waiting on the Lord is not always easy, but it's definitely worth it. A little phrase, I'm sure you've heard it many more times, but pastor used to always talk about payday. One day, payday's coming. And we believe that. And, you know, there were people in our lives who were godly people who maybe didn't see it the same way, thought we were adults, we could kind of make our own decisions. And, boy, Pastor and Susan were just right behind us saying, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And that was really, definitely what we needed to hear, encouraged us. We had faith. We didn't know how God was going to put us back together. We didn't know it would be through a pacemaker, very dramatic way to do it. But come to find out a few months later, after Holly had her pacemaker, we prayed and fasted about it, and I decided to approach her dad about us not only getting back together, I was coming up on graduation in college, and maybe we could possibly get married. And as we found out, Holly actually presented him with a letter I wrote, and he read the letter, and he said, well, I guess you guys want to get married. And Holly's like, yes. And he's like, well, I've been talking to Elaine, and we think that's just fine with us. I kind of decided that a few months ago. And Holly's like, a few months ago? Why didn't you tell me before? You know? And so he's like, well, I just didn't want to push it, you know? And but praise God, I can tell you this too. One of the things, sometimes when you go through a situation like that, one of the things, whether it be future in-laws or whatever the case may be, don't ever harbor bitterness. I praise the Lord. I knew God had a plan in that the whole time, and I didn't hold it against her parents for waiting, because we just didn't know what the reason was. And to this day, they are my second parents. We love them very much. You wouldn't believe how many times they've come down to visit us. They're our most ardent supporters in the ministry. Probably Mom and Dad Ferguson know more about our ministry than anybody in America. They love us, and we're very thankful for that. And we've talked about in the past, they're very thankful that we honor them that way. And there's something that I know, young guys, if you want to know this, that Holly will always know how much I love her because I was willing to wait and do it the right way. Young ladies, if a guy is not willing to wait and do it the right way, he's not the right one. And God is so good to us to have godly people. I remember when we got the news that we were going to be able to not only date but get married, I remember jumping up and slapping high fives with Brother Victor Tate. He was praying for us a lot. I like seeing Brother Glenn out there. I know he was one who was giving us lots of hugs. A lot of you guys remember that time. It was something that was not easy for us, but boy, God has been good, and I'm so thankful that we waited for his best. And so shortly after we got married, we started deputation. God was very good on that. We finished deputation and went off to language school. Language school was for me. Holly was a Spanish teacher, and I was the dummy that had to go learn Spanish. And so we spent a year in language school, which was very vital for our ministry. And then we went to the DR in 2009. In fact, in February, believe it or not, it'll be 10 years that we've been in the DR. Time has flown by very quickly. When we got there to the DR, we didn't know anybody. We did not know anybody in our town. And so we just started talking to people, started passing out tracts, started going down to the central parks and talking to people. And Temple came for our very first service. Pastor preached, Brandon translated. And I was just talking to Brandon yesterday. There are many people who came. We started in a little plaza and a little storefront who came to that first service, who not only still in our church today, but in this moment right now are teaching Sunday school classes and greeters and helpers in church. And you guys had a beginning, a part in that from the very, very beginning. And we can't tell you thank you enough. And it just, we've been together the whole time on that. And I thank you so much for your connection to our ministry there in the Dominican. So we were in the storefront for 4 years. And as we grew, we had to rent more storefronts. It got to be more expensive. So we started praying about land. And we found a nice piece of land, a nice piece of property the Lord directed us towards. I remember the gentleman wanted $60,000 for it. It was still a pretty good price, but we didn't have $60,000. We had about $50,000. And I told the gentleman, well, I can't do that. We'll go home. If somebody wants to give me more money tonight, I'll give you a call in the morning, but not going to be able to do that. And so, funny enough, this never happened. I've never gotten calls at night with people wanting to give me money, but someone called us that night, and they said, we're praying about your church, and we voted last night, and we were going to send you guys $2,000. And we were very excited about that. It was an amazing blessing. It wasn't $10,000, but it was $2,000. So I said, that's funny. We said that. Well, the next day, the lawyer called and said, you know, the guy said he's going to lower the price $8,000. What do you all think about that? Well, I wasn't a math major, but I could figure it out. That was exactly what we had. And sometimes when you're making a big decision, it's hard to know if you should go forward. Well, when God makes it that clear, we went forward. And we also praise the Lord. In that time when we were constructing and building our church, which Temple came and helped us finish up, we were given the ability to not rent, but use an old Presbyterian church, beautiful brick building that wasn't being used. And they gave it to us rent-free for 2 years. And that was a tremendous blessing as we were able to take all the money we were spending on rent before. And so in 2000, I guess it was early 2015, we were able to open the doors. And let me rewind a little bit. I don't know if he's here or not, but Tim Pflugi and Tim and Sharon came to be our teammates in the beginning of 2014. And that was such a vital part. I know to this day we could not have built that church without the Pflugi's help and the ministry there. And I remember as we were closing in towards the end of the year, the construction, I was still thinking it was going to take many more months. And Tim said, no, we're going to be in that thing in the beginning of January. I was hoping for April. He said, no, I'm praying about it. We're going to be there in the beginning of January. And sure enough, we got in the second week of January. And I thank them so much for their support in our ministry. They were such vital members. We miss them dearly to this day. And they were vital in that. And so after we built that church, you guys helped finish up. I thought, boy, we're going to slow down a little bit here. We're not going to do any more construction. We're just going to, kind of coast for a little while, And God didn't have the plans at all. Brother Ari in the church, as you saw in the comment in the video there, he had a great desire to reach his area. Where we are in our first church is more of a middle-class area, very nice area, business owners, lawyers, doctors, tradespeople. But where Brother Ari lives, it's a very rough, urban part of town, very dangerous. So dangerous that at nighttime, it's just too dangerous for him to drive his motorcycle for the chance of being attacked and knocked off his motorcycle. So it's a very dangerous area. And so when he said he wanted to go stay there and build his own church, I was overjoyed because that's just a tough area to go be a part of. And so he started bringing people on the bus for a couple of years until he was ready and trained up. And that story is another amazing story. We didn't know how we were going to do that. We thought maybe one day we would rent a little locale just kind of like we did and start a church. Well, there was a gentleman on a missions trip who, while building the first church, got to talk to another man and got a burden for the Dominican Republic. And he approached me and he said, whenever you build your second church and you're looking for property, let me know. I want to help because I want to not only help you build a church, but do something like a community center to reach out to the people. We said, all right. And so when Ari was at that position, he started looking for property. And they found a piece of property that would work for them. And we went back to this gentleman and we said, all right, so here's the price. And I thought he might give a small donation towards it. And it was $50,000, and he said, I'll buy it. So I said, oh, we got to work again now. All right, we got to get everything going here. And God just, that was a miracle. Who could imagine that? And so that piece of property, they had the little building. Brother Ari started living there. And once he got married, they lived there in the back part of it. They started Bible studies in the front. And then God started providing for the building of a church. As the congregation grew, you saw the building. Temple was the only work group that came and helped us. Temple also gave very generously so we could build that. But the people in the church built 90% of that church. Pastor Ari, his grandfather, his uncle, his other uncles, they did 90%. They did all the design and the building. And it's their church. And it's so exciting to go on Sunday nights. We go there on Sunday nights and help out. But really, I enjoy sometimes just sitting back as an observer and seeing Pastor Ari lead the church and see the congregation, and just to be an observer and to see how God is working in this area, and to think of how many of you and we, all of us, have had a part in that, but yet it's going on by itself. And that's really what missions is about. We go to train these people, but it's really to take our hands off. And when we see it working, it's exciting. And so after we helped build Pastor Ari's church, I thought, boy, all right, now we're going to slow down a little bit, okay? And then Pastor Elias, Brother Elias comes to me, and he wants to start a church in his side of town. And Brother Elias is in a totally different side of town. Brother Elias is in what we'd call the country. And he's with rednecks, okay? He's with Dominican rednecks is where he is. And they all walk to church, and he's got to have church a little bit earlier. And I'm sure Jeremy's used to this, you know, because if they have church go too late, they're walking home in the dark, you know, and it's pitch dark. And so he started that church just about a year ago, and God has richly blessed that. And I thought then, I said, all right, well, we're going to work on these three works. We're going to work on the community center. That's what we're going to do. And then a few weeks ago, I got a call from Brother Elias, and he got the itch again. He has a fish hatchery near this other town where he works for his money. And he was there one Sunday morning. He saw all these fishermen sitting underneath these trees. He said, Pastor, I couldn't resist. I just had to go preach to him. And he went and preached, and he called me and said, Pastor, what do you think? He said, I know I like going to your church and everything, but boy, I could be used here. I could start a church underneath this tree. And I said, go, brother, go for it. And he's a fisher of fishermen, okay? And so that's what he is. And this moment right now, I'm sure he's underneath that tree starting another work. And so those are the kinds of things that are going on. Those are the kinds of things that are being added every day to your spiritual account. And that's what the spiritual emphasis, I believe, or the missions emphasis Sunday is, to remind you why we give, why we pray, why we go, because people are being saved. There are places where people have never heard the name of Christ, you know, and that is a special kind of missionary. Dear friend Josh Mead is that kind of missionary who goes to a very hostile environment and preaches the gospel. Where we go is a place that is very receptive to the gospel, but it's very confusing. And they need someone to go and open the scriptures. So many people who've come to our church, who have stayed, have often asked them, why have you decided to stay at our church? And they said, it's the only place I know that opens the Bible and explains what it means to us. And so that's what we're doing as missionaries. We're going, we're opening the Bible, explaining who Jesus is, and why he came and why he died for us. And so please keep praying for us. I thank you for your support. Thank you for your friendship. Giving to missions, going to missions, we're going to talk about that all day, but it really starts with our hearts. One of the things the pastor taught so many years ago to us was, you know, pastor doesn't speak much on money. In fact, the only times I ever remember it is about missions conference. And we follow that same pattern in the Dominican. It served us well. I have a funny story. One time, we had our missions banquet, and there's a really nice restaurant in town. Brandon's been there. They have a really nice chef, and she's a Christian lady, so I invited her and her husband to come because I thought, if we're going to have a missions banquet, what better way to invite the best chef in town to come help us out, right? Bad idea, okay? Because her husband came, and we spoke on Faith Promise Missions, and he wasn't a believer, and he's like, that church, all they care about is money. And I was like, oh, I failed. I did the wrong thing. So now, 51 weeks of the year, I tell people, invite your friends to church. But on that one Sunday, I say, all right, now this is not the week to invite everyone to your church because they don't understand about the money thing. And so, but it really is about the heart. You know, it's not about money, money, money. It's about giving your heart to the Lord. And that's what that trip to India really helped me see, was that I had never come back, and it wasn't that I had rejected God's call. I just never said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And I believe that's what we all need to do, because it doesn't mean God's going to call us all to India or Dominican Republic or Uganda, but God has something for us to do. Young people, he has something for you to do. And before you set your plan in motion, ask God what his plan is for your life. And I could go on and on, but I just want to thank you for your support, your care of us. It doesn't go unnoticed. It's something where we get a great joy and pleasure to come back and tell you what God is doing. And let me pray to conclude tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so full of joy this morning seeing these faces, people I have so many memories with. Lord, I thank you so much for Pastor and his family and their friendship over the years, their support of us, their dedication, their prayers. Thank you for Pastor Brandon and his friendship as well. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in the hearts of the people here. It's exciting to hear the enthusiasm that is still here for worldwide missions. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to fan that flame. It's obvious, Lord, that through that flame and that fervor, you're blessing them in many other ways. Because you, Lord, you trust them to use those resources wisely for your glory. Lord, I pray you continue to bless this church, allow them to be a lighthouse for the gospel, not only around the world, but Lord, right here in Northern Virginia, where so much of the mission field has come to our doorstep. Lord, allow us to have open eyes to see every day where we can tell this dark world about you. And Lord, I just pray you'll help us, keep us faithful, going forward, constantly looking for ways where we can honor and glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I mean, enjoyed that. Say amen. Amen. You know, priorities in a Christian's life are the secret to success. And the priority in all of our lives as a local church is love the Lord first and most of all. If you miss that, everything else becomes work. But if you fall in love with the Lord, then money takes care of itself. Then going takes care of itself. Because you look at the Lord and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? My prayer today is that maybe all of you in this room would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And maybe there's somebody at your place of work. Do I think the Lord is going to call everybody in this room to the mission field? Absolutely not. Could the Lord use everybody in this room on the mission field? Absolutely, he could. Every young person, every adult, because the world is lost. But our goal is not to reach the world first. Our goal is to love the Lord first. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then after that, we begin to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we open up our palms. When I fell in love with my wife, she got my money. Because you know what? I'd spend anything in the world on her, for her, because I loved her. So when you fall in love with the Lord, you'll spend your money however the Lord wants you to spend it. If you truly love him, you'll even open up your heart and say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Do you know how hard it would be to fall in love with a young lady and to put it on hold indefinitely? That's what happened to Eric and Holly. I was so proud of them. I remember Holly would call Susan and talk to her, and Susan said, well, just, I think you're doing the right thing by waiting. You want your parents' support. That's critical. Because you're going to have a long-term ministry if the Lord works this out. And we are fasting and praying with them. So not every time, but sometimes you have to get a pacemaker, get a husband. And it's worth it, okay? At least it wasn't her situation. And I want to encourage you today to open up your palms. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And whatever that is, it may be to pass out tracts in your neighborhood. It may be to witness to a guy at work. But God has a plan for everybody in this room. The question is, will you open up your heart and seek his plan? I think they're a great example of what the Lord can do with somebody that says, here am I. And everybody in this room can say exactly the same thing. Here am I. So you have to do what you can do. They were faithful to church. Both of them were faithful in Sunday school and church and helping and teaching and doing whatever they could do here while they were waiting on the Lord. And I wanted him to give this testimony so everybody here in this room could see the power of the Lord with a life or two lives that are saying, Lord, here am I. And I want you to do that today. Lord, here am I. Whatever you'd have me to do. And when Eric was a sprint technician and went on the mission trip to India, and Holly went on the mission trip to India. That's the only time we've ever had girls, ladies go on a construction trip, ever. Now, we were building furniture and pews in a church. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And we have to always say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. So this morning, we have a little bit of time. It's about 20 till. Just ask the Lord to open your heart today. A young couple that love the Lord, you can see God is using them, and God can use you today and the rest of your life and the rest of this week if you'll just say, here am I. So this is sort of a reminder, missions is not everything. Loving the Lord Jesus is everything. But souls are close to the heart of God. And they ought to be close to our heart too. And I want to encourage you. The reason we want to do Faith Promise, the reason we're an independent Baptist church, is so we can send missionaries like this out and support them and help them and no interference. And Eric, do you know how much money we sent to you on that one trip? On one of the buildings, I don't remember what it was. About $35,000. Now, you know what? That's a lot of money. But it's not a lot of money for the Lord. And if each one of us chip in a little bit here and there, the Lord takes care of it. Hey, let me ask you this question. If the Lord works this piece of property out, anybody here ever thought about getting $33 million for a piece of dirt? I didn't. But the Lord's way is perfect if we just trust Him. So today, step one, here am I, Lord. That's for everybody in this room. Well, you're dismissed this morning. See you in a few minutes.